Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your host, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, excited to have everyone join us on another one of these episodes of the Business of Digital podcast. Before I jump into our exciting guest and who we have going on today, I do want to just do a quick mention of our sponsor, the MarTech Conference. It is coming to San Jose April 3rd through the 5th and Boston September 16th through the 18th. And so I invite you guys to join host and program chair Scott Brinker for a diverse agenda that delivers strategic insights into marketing, technology, and management. And because we love taking care of you guys, we're going to save you 15% if you use the code BizPodcast, that's B-I-Z, and then just podcast, all one word, lowercase. It'll save you 15%. And of course, go ahead and check out martechconf.com for more information. So that's just martechconf.com for more information. So, all right, without further ado, I would like to, first of all, welcome my co-host, Dave. How's it going, Dave?
It is going super duper.
But also, I'm really excited for this one because longtime friend of mine, Christy Morrison, but that's just your new maiden name or your married name.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say the artist formerly known as Christy Bolsinger.
Exactly. That's what I always know you as. But so I wanted to give both of them credit, but also... It's funny because every time I have you on, and I think I've told you this many times, or every time we chat, I always have to really just focus on your first name because I have a niece that her parents decided to name her Kirsty. And so I trained myself forever to not call her Christy. And then I chat with you, and then I have to like remind myself to not call you Kirsty. Anyway, sorry.
I get all the variations, so I'll respond to just about anything at this point.
That's how I am with my last name. So the worst. Yeah, I'm not going to get into that. Okay. But we do appreciate you coming on. And so before we, you know, I'm going to kind of give a little bit of a background as to why we wanted to have you on. And you did a tweet that caught Dave's attention, and I'm going to go ahead and just read it here for everyone. But it said, "Your cutesy puns and cheeky illustrations might be fun to use in your thought leadership, but guess what? It means I probably won't share it with my execs. Think about desired use case for your readers as well as your creating content, not just your own." And so that, I think, is going to be an awesome discussion that we're going to jump into, and Dave can add anything to that as his thoughts as to why, you know, he wanted to have you on. But first of all, before we jump into that and discuss that, maybe just share with us a little bit about yourself and your background, and we'll go from there, Christy.
Sure, great. Thanks for having me on. Super excited to be here. I currently work in customer experience and optimization at F5 Networks here in Seattle. I got my career started over a decade ago doing social media and search optimization back when you could really game social for search optimization, you know, yep. A lot more than you can now, right? I think we all remember those do follow links in our Twitter profiles and things like that.
Good old days.
Yeah, I know. Gosh, it used to be so much easier.
These kids don't know what we had to go. No,
yeah, but that was, you know, that was a while ago, and I've been in a variety of roles since then, both consulting in a big four firm like PwC, to smaller boutique consulting firms, and in-house as well. So my career has really transitioned, or in some ways, I guess, come full circle, because I started in social and organic search, really moved into customer experience consulting and customer experience work, operating model stuff with bigger enterprises for social business and things like that. And now my role today really sits at the intersection of optimization and customer experience, because those are both of the areas of the business that I kind of, caretake for. And I think there's a lot of great alignment there, which is really great. You know, I think in a lot of companies, you don't necessarily see the search person and the customer experience person being the same person. Yeah. But it works really well for us because it forces a customer first view of content and everything digital, right? That digital engagement layer where people actually interact on your site and in your properties and your third-party places like Reddit or you know, GitHub and places like that. So it's been a fun role in which I've been able to, you know, really elevate the conversation internally and bring my career kind of full circle again. So happy to be here. Happy to talk about some random tweet that I sent out. I love that it caught Dave's eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 10 minutes a day that I spend on Twitter, sometimes I catch so much stuff, and Matt knows too, because every so often I'll catch like a link, or he'll catch something too. And our Facebook messages back and forth are basically like, oh, did you see this? Oh, this would be interesting. Oh, did you see this? Yeah. And then I saw your tweet recently and I was like, that's interesting. We kind of talk about stuff along this line, but we've never dug deep into it. And maybe you can go into, you don't have to give the exact, you know, throw someone under the bus of what spurred it, but maybe we'll talk along the lines of what you saw or what you typically see that kind of got you to finally go, oh my gosh, I'm going to tweet about this.
Yeah, you know, and luckily for me, I can't throw anybody under the bus because I don't remember. Not that I would do that anyway. That would be not very cool. You know, I see a lot of these articles in the search space. You've got everybody writing from big agencies or in-house experts to kind of these smaller shops, or maybe it's, you know, one person just kind of getting their thing off the ground or whatever. So there's a lot of the spectrum of content coming out of the SEO space really ranges in both creator but also audience. And so I understand that, right? I understand that not everybody's trying to target the corporate guy, the corporate team, the more straight-laced. This particular article, though, I wish I could remember the topic, but it was something that really struck a chord with me. I was really excited about it. It addressed a problem that we had been tackling internally at F5 as it relates to search specifically. And I was excited to read it. I loved what the article had to say, but I didn't feel comfortable sharing it because it had what I felt to be, and I don't mean this to be patronizing, but I can't think of a better word right now, but it had an immature presentation layer. There were cartoon characters in it. Mm. It was very silly in tone, but it was addressing a real business problem. So I had two choices. I could either, well, three, I guess. I could just not share it and move on with my day. I could share it and kind of apologize for it, or I could basically rewrite it in an email, say what I wanted to say, and then source it. That just took so much work. And so I ended up actually just doing the first. I said, this is a great article. I'm going to bookmark it. I'm going to learn from it, but I'm not going to be able to share it to my executives. It just didn't fit with the brand that I personally am trying to craft and the tone of our business, because this is serious stuff. So it prevented me from sharing it internally, which I thought was an unfortunate situation.
No, and that's what's tough, because, you know, when I think about stuff like that, I think about how many of those missed opportunities that people have because of stuff like that. You know, whether it's, you know, you were talking about sharing it internally, but, you know, even to the fact that some people may not share something to their networks or in different platforms because of that same reason. And you know, what I've learned over the years is, as I know you have, sometimes all it takes is just for one person or one right person, if you will, to see something that can make something explode, which would end up doing, you know, just amazing things for that business, whether it be links or whether it be purchases or whatever it is that they're going for. But you think about that with what you just said and how, like, you know, sometimes that opportunity could be lost. And like, how often does that happen? Because maybe people aren't thinking that fully through, like with the situation that you shared.
Right. And I think it's, you know, it's kind of a complicated one too, because we ought to be authentic as possible, right? We ought to be ourselves as much as possible, especially in social. There's so much fake stuff out there. There's so many curated personalities, and that's fine if that's what you're going for. But I do think there's a great deal of value in just being who you are. We've got a lot of big personalities in search. I don't even need to name them, right? who have a boisterous personalities and have very defined personal brands that may or may not be palatable to everybody. And that's okay, because their target audience isn't everybody. Their target audience is somebody that aligns with their approach and their way of thinking, or just somebody that can maybe appreciate their boldness and their authenticity. So I do think you kind of have to walk a line of being palatable to everybody and being true to yourself. And these are decisions that we make all the time in our content, in our personal brand, even in this tweet, right? This offhanded tweet, because I was kind of disappointed I couldn't share this content. Look, it resulted in... It resulted in this podcast interview. So exactly like you said, you don't know what the consequences of this stuff is going to be. But, you know, if I'm being thoughtful and I'm continuing to be myself, at least in a consistent manner that's in alignment with my values and my brand, and I'm aware of those consequences, then, you know... It's hard to argue with that too much. But when you're a business and you're building a content marketing framework and you're trying to draw other people in, I do think it takes a deeper look.
Well, I know Dave unmuted himself, so I know he probably wants to ask something, but I'm going to jump in and steal some time before I let him do that, because it got me thinking about, like, some of my, you know, my favorite presentations that, you know, we've even done together. Christy, it has been when you've shared some of, like, just social media disasters. And that's another thing that kind of goes along with this and knowing, you know, your audience, knowing what to share, you know, is anyway, like, and so, like, I'm glad that we're chatting about this, because I think you're one of the best persons for something like this. And, you know, I've loved it. And this is just more of a, hey, I know that you like really know this stuff, because, like, I've seen your presentations, and, you know, this is something that you're probably always keeping an eye out for. But anyway, I don't know why I shared that, but you know, I've had some of the funnest presentations I've watched is when we've gone over stuff like this.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. I think that's one of the beauties of moving back and forth a little bit between consulting and in-house, or even agency work and in-house, right? Is you get exposure to so many different ways of doing things. Everybody likes to think that their problems are so unique, you know, to their company. And the likelihood is that your problems aren't unique, but how you maybe operate around those problems is unique. So there's a lot of different ways of doing things. And all brands have different, I guess, bandwidths of what's acceptable. And
I hear kitties meowing. Sorry.
Did you hear that? I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. Hey, if it's not Dave's cat purring, it's yours meowing. So it's all good.
She just jumped up on the desk next to me and announced herself. She has a spot. She's sitting in it now. So we're all good. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. We love it.
I can't remember what I was saying.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. The cats are good at distracting me. But it's just about understanding what your boundaries are and what you're comfortable with, and pushing them when appropriate. But, you know, I used to say when I was a bartender, I could say anything to anybody as long as I said it the right way. Mm. I'd get a huge tip, right?
Wow, yeah. That's a good, yeah, perfect way of describing
maybe
it.
Maybe even a bigger tip, too.
Oftentimes, yes.
Yeah. Because you got their attention and were engaging. I think... part of what the reason the tweet caught me initially is because we talk about, you know, create content for people. And there's that balance between, and Matt, you said it, you know, if you're creating content for everyone, it's the wrong way to do it. You have to know your audience. But I think there's also a balance between, you know, if you're creating some kind of content brief and you have your eight personas and then you have your goals for this piece of content, you know, and for you, maybe it's to reduce the number of, you know, calls to call center. Maybe it's to reduce the number of people that aren't quite sure what they need when they talk to a salesperson. Maybe it's, you know, they're buying shoes and they want to know if they have the size or whatever that piece of content is, or, you know, what social or for the website. I think sometimes there's a disconnect between headline, content, goal, personas, and all these different things. I don't think sometimes people take a step back and go, how can I get this moved up a level? If this is supposed to be some piece of content marketing where I want people to understand that BuzzSumo did something recently where they looked at, like, you know, millions of pieces of content. What is the summary? What can I show my boss? Like, what can, for Christy, what can you take from that? What visuals, what pieces of content can you take from that and share it? And I think sometimes that kind of thing is missed. And maybe if you go back to, like, your agency life and maybe even in-house, I've had arguments with people about, you know, why would you do a technical audit in a PowerPoint? Well, because so-and-so has to go and sell it to the DevOps So they have to sell it to the marketing person. They have to sell it to so-and-so. So they're going to take my presentation or my deliverable and break it up into 8 different ways because they have to customize it for every single audience.
Yeah, I think that's really important, right? What you're saying is essentially know your audience and understand fully their needs and their use case. And I think that's kind of that's the meat of it for me is when you're creating content, really truly understanding where along the customer journey the person that's going to be reading this is and what is their role, what are the problems they're trying to solve, and how is this piece of content going to help them, and how do they plan on using it, or how might you inspire them to use it. And actually, I think that's where you start, right? You start at that customer journey, really understanding your buyer, your customer, or your subscriber, whatever it is, understanding all along each of the phases as they're kind of onboarding through sale, and then even beyond that into advocacy. What are the questions and problems they have? Because this is a fun exercise, because when you start doing it this way, when you start approaching your content strategy this way, what you get is you get an awesome list of questions that can inform your content. You also get a lot of really great seed keywords for your keyword research and your keyword tracking and optimization and all of that. It always comes back to what problems are your customers trying to solve and how are you going to meet them there to help them solve them, whether it's answering a question, whether it's more of a 411 type of content, right, where you're helping them use your product better, or it's a 911 type of content where something is broken and they need to fix it now, or whether you're just being generally helpful in a more thought leadership approach where it's not so much about what you're trying to sell and what you're offering is, it's more maybe top of the funnel awareness stuff where it's like, hey, have you thought about your business in this way and mapping your content to that part of the journey for them?
You know, I love that you said that because it totally reminded me of, you know, an example of something. You know, with us, we do a lot of visuals, obviously, at Avalanche Media, but it got me thinking about, you know, we did a lot of work with Quiksilver before, and they had these amphibious shorts, and you know, we were doing just normal stuff, but these pants weren't selling. And so we were trying to, you know, figure out why, but the solution was right in front of us because they said, well, people are always asking like these questions about them. And so they hit us up with like some of their 4 or 5 like most answered or most asked questions about them. And so we just created a visual that we answered them very simply that they then put on the kiosks and then they started selling them. And so, you know, that was something that we hadn't even thought of at the time. And so I guess part of what I got from what you were just saying was, you know, play it, not necessarily, I don't know if the right word is play it by ear, but don't be so set on one direction that you miss something or an opportunity.
Yeah, and I think frequently asked questions are actually a great opportunity, like you said, to go and address your messaging framework or how you're positioning your product or aspects of your business, right, throughout the customer journey. I'm of the opinion, and a lot of people will probably disagree with me, but I think if you have an FAQ page, you've done your messaging wrong. Something has gone wrong because you shouldn't have frequently asked questions buried on an FAQ page. Those should be integral to how you message forward and first. Get in front of those questions. Don't even give the person an opportunity to doubt or to, you know, have a bubble, an angst bubble form, right? Get in front of that. Have your frequently asked questions be addressed right away. And I love that you guys kind of did that with that Quiksilver example. That's perfect.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, that's something that, see guys, everyone that listens to Dave and I tell you all the time about, you know, how we go about this. Kirstie's, you know, she's being our third witness. So I love it because that's what we're trying to tell people all the time, you know, and, you know, just this whole idea of creating content and coming up with content. And, you know, you always, you know, how I started my career was trying to figure out what was going to, you know, make the front page of Dig and shut a server down. And luckily things have evolved and grown beyond that to the points and the very facts of what you're saying with, you know, like, let's figure out what the problem is. What are the questions that people are asking? What are, you know, ways that we can provide that, you know, what's the goal with this content? Is the goal with it to, you know, are we trying to help the SEO? Are we trying to build links? Are we trying to build influence? Are we trying to build a community? Are we trying to do this for brand purposes, reputation? You know, are we trying to get leads, sales? Like, what is the purpose of this content? And then once you get all that figured out it makes everything so much more smoothly, in my opinion, down the road.
I completely agree. And every time you have a question or you get to a fork in the road on how am I going to handle this particular headline or graphic or whatever decision you're trying to make, all you have to do is look back at your objective. What was my objective in the first place? That will help me answer my question. It's not as ambiguous as you might think if you have your objective top of mind and your customers, you know, your customer's objective top of mind.
Beautiful. Awesome.
I think, Christy, I think for some people it might be like, I already have personas. I already, you know, talk to our salespeople, our customer service people. We have these questions, you know. What couple steps would you suggest that you have in personally used, or how would you like typically walk through your content where you think you guys do a pretty good job of, you know, not running into this, just so that someone listening can be like, oh, that's what they mean, you know, to take the idea to actually implement it.
Not to put you
on the spot.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. It's a I think one of my favorite, I guess, tools for this is to, so we're obviously a big enterprise site. So our support site is also quite large. Between our support site as well as the data that we get from our site search, there's a lot of gold there. Now the support site, obviously you're looking at definitely one end of the funnel, right? You're getting an eye for what are the problems that people are having. And that can be a really good input for content. But I really like site search separately from that a bit, because you get a direct line of sight into what people can't find on your site. And I'm not talking about specific articles. We can even back it all the way up to your information architecture. How do you have your IA set up? What does your nav structure look like? Have you aligned your navigation all up to your business and how your business is set up, or have you aligned it to how your customer thinks and moves through the journey? And I think your site search data oftentimes can tell you whether you've nailed it or whether you failed it. You're getting a direct line of sight from the customer into what they can't find. And I think that's a great place to start.
When I was in-house, I used to track the site search data. Like I would do a monthly dump to see what had been trending over time, because there's always people that are just lazy and they're like, I need this question. I'm not even going to look through their marketing junk. I don't want to talk to a salesperson. I just want to find stuff. And there's always going to be people that are just going to, you know, no matter what you do, you could put it right on the homepage. They're just not going to look for it. Or maybe they're going to search through Google and they're going to land on a page and they see FAQ and they're like, I'll just scroll through that. But I used to track site search and look for opportunities for that exact reason, because it was like, where are we failing? What are the opportunities for content? So yeah, and if you don't know where you have site search, you can literally set it up in Google Analytics and it'll track it for you. So do that if you don't have it.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Depending on what tool you're using, you can oftentimes get it from that provider as well. I know Google Search Appliance is sunsetting, so a lot of people are probably moving to new providers right about now. And hopefully you're getting it in your analytics, because that's the tool that you're most often interfacing with. But often it's also available from the appliance provider as well, whether you're using Coveo or one of the other players in the space. But a lot of gold to be had there for sure.
Well, Christy, I really do want to thank you for coming on and chatting with us about all this. I want to give you, you know, just the last minute to kind of just share your final thoughts and maybe share with everyone how they can get a hold of you online, maybe share that ever sought after Twitter profile. Interesting that I read about that. You know, I guess you get offers on it often. Yes. Often enough to have a canned response to people. But yeah, just share with us your final thought and where people can find you online.
Yeah, I guess my final thought is just something that's been boiling under the surface for me for, you know, the last 3 years. I am one of the lucky few people, I guess, or, you know, maybe a handful of people. I got to craft my own job description in this role, and I'm so glad that I did, because I don't think you can have a customer experience practice in this digital world that we live in without looking at search. And I don't think you can be successful at search optimization if you don't really deeply understand the customer experience. So my world is both of those. And if you're working in one or the other and you're not familiar with the other side of that, I would just encourage you to start doing some reading. And I think you'll find a lot of gold, both for customer experience professionals, absolutely, because I think there's a lot of them that have been siloed off in digital transformation teams. Okay, but we're all transformed now, right? It's 2019. Like, let's get to work and let's operationalize this stuff. And I think the search world has really embraced the customer experience practice or profession, if you will, probably more deeply than the customer experience side has grasped SEO. But, you know, reach across the aisle, guys. Like, and there's a lot of benefit to be had for both sides of the coin on this one. And if you would like to get a hold of me, you can tweet me or follow me at Christy, K-R-I-S-T-Y. Yeah, and it was the Instagram handle. I get so many requests every week for my Instagram handle, gotcha. which is also at Christy, at K-R-I-S-T-Y. Between the half a dozen or so hack attempts that I get per week and the requests to purchase, I'm just hoping one of these days I can pay off my student loans. So if anybody out there, I'm probably violating terms of service here, but girls got bills.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for joining us. We loved having you on, and hopefully we can think of something to get you back on again. And so for Christy and for Matt, or for Dave with...
Who's Matt?
I don't know. He's just this guy that, you know, he's all confused at times. But actually, just want to give you guys one final reminder. The MarTech Conference is coming to San Jose April 3rd through the 5th and Boston September 16th through the 18th. And so make sure you check out for more information at martechconf.com, martechconf.com. We will save you 15% on either of those if you use the word biz, you know, the promo code BIZPODCAST, BIZPODCAST. And so, again, for Christy and Dave, I'm Matt. Thank you guys for joining us, and we will see you on another one of these episodes. Bye, guys.